This is Doug Green, and I'm the publisher of Telecom Reseller. And today I'm with Steve Smith, who's the Chief Executive Officer at Fonitus. Steve, thank you for joining me today.
It's always nice to talk with you, Doug. I'm looking forward to our chat.
Me too. This is really interesting. Up until now, our discussions about Stir Shaken was, look out, it's coming, that deadline's coming, you'd better get ready, there's still time to get ready, oh no, you're not ready enough, and so on. That's been us.
That's right.
About it for a year or 2 years or whatever. Now we're sort of well on the other side of the mountain. We're approaching.
Yeah.
Right?
June 30 has passed.
Come and gone.
Yeah.
And I bet if you're like most of the people listening, I'll bet even if you've got a big mobile carrier on your cell phone, you may have actually received one or two calls that kind of slipped through. So we're going to talk about that. And Steve and I are going to be talking about actual success with implementing Stir Shaken. Before we get to that, what is Fonitus?
Oh, Fonitus is a communication platform as a service, and we're aimed at businesses in regulated industries, healthcare, finance. So we have a web API that our customers use to place and receive phone calls, text messages, all forms of communication. Our product's used primarily in enterprise contact centers. So we're a bit of a specialist in that area.
So I love our first question, which is, what happened to those who didn't go ahead and implement?
Yeah, or the question is, where were the fireworks, right? Mm-hmm. So where's the news headlines about my calls aren't going through? And the answer is there have not been any fireworks. And I think there's a few reasons for that. With any technological protocol change of this magnitude with, I think latest count, there's something like 4,500 voice service providers, also known as carriers in the U.S. There have always been a series of milestones. Everyone's focused on June 30th. But the bottom line is, and I think, there's some shocking stats for you, or maybe not shocking, but somewhat surprising, is one of the large people in the ecosystem that sees a fair bit of traffic has been measuring things. And at this point in time, still less than 10% of the calls have a Stir Shaken signature attached to them when they reach the terminating carrier. So what that means is carriers can't yet out of hand block those calls that don't have signatures, because if so, they would just be catching way too many legitimate calls in their net. Now, that can beg a lot of questions, and I'll let you decide which ones to ask, like, why aren't more than, 10% of the calls showing up with Stir Shaken headers, or, how quickly will it change? And maybe I'll let you direct the conversation where you want to go out of that.
Well, let's start with that.
Why?
Yeah, I'm flabbergasted. Like I said, I won't name the carrier, but I bet I'm not different than anyone else. I know I'm still getting spam calls.
Yeah. So first off, June 30th was a deadline for originating carriers, which we are one of those, to have a Stir Shaken implementation and to file with the FCC something called a robocall mitigation plan. Having said that, there are a number of smaller carriers that took advantage last year of saying, hey, we're small, we're below a certain size, and they were therefore granted a longer time period to implement Stir Shaken. So what that results in, there are also the method for handling international carriers and call origination onto the network is still sort of not really fully baked. Carriers can register if they're a foreign carrier with the FCC. Not all have. So there's still a fair bit of traffic coming in that for legitimate reasons, either it's a smaller carrier that filed for a delay or international traffic that doesn't have a signature, right? So if it doesn't have a signature to start with, it won't have one when it gets to the terminating carrier. So that's the first half of the problem. And by the way, just as a quick digression, if you have listeners that are kind of like, huh, what's stir shaken? Should I just say
a
brief word? We've talked about it a lot, but
someone may know it wrong. Yeah.
So stir shaken is the culmination of a multi-year effort by the FCC to find a way to cryptographically sign every call as it's being originated in a manner that that call can be traced back to the originating party. And what is needed about that is it's somewhat surprising and shocking to know that the current telephone infrastructure and network after the deregulation and the move to a lot of IP-based service providers, there is no real way to tell where a call came from. If you're T-Mobile or AT&T and all that, you just know that someone handed it off to you, and you have no real way to tell, is that a legitimate caller ID, or is it spoofed, or is it fraudulent? So stir shaken are two different protocols that have been approved that deal with the ability that in my case, for example, I, as an originating service provider sending outbound calls on behalf of enterprise contact centers, I sign that call. And the terminating service provider, when that call gets to them, can cryptographically check that signature, say, yep, that really was a call. This person had the authority to sign it. They're attesting that it's one of their phone numbers and the timestamps match and all that. So, okay, I believe that really is a legitimate call. So that's what stir shaken is. I guess that takes us back to why are we not seeing more calls signed? And the one answer is there's, you know, these two categories of carriers that don't have to sign calls yet. And I guess there's a related third call, which is the FCC probably always knew that there were going to be some laggards, for instance, we work with a number of other carriers and we've had to test that they actually transit our headers if we give them, and I won't name names, but one of them only got that working this week. So even though we were signing a call and handing it to an intermediate carrier, they themselves had not done the work on their side to even pass it through. So any call that we handed to them, in effect, had the header stripped out of it and the signature didn't make it through. But the larger issue there is that stir shaken relate to SIP, which is the voice over IP protocol used when telephone calls transit data networks, IP networks. So the whole SS7/TDM telephone network, and I'm going to assume that, you know, people listening to a telecom reseller podcast kind of understand this distinction. There is no equivalent. So if I, for instance, hand a call to a carrier who has an SS7 interconnect to AT&T and they use their SS7 interconnect, peering interconnect, which may be their lowest cost way to hand that call to lowest cost and highest quality way to hand that call to AT&T. Well, guess what? The SS7 protocols have not been updated yet to pass that header through. So that header just got dropped and AT&T is none the wiser as to whether that call was really signed or not because they took that call over SS7.
Now, we have heard about something called the TDM problem and its resolution. But first of all, can you explain what is the so-called TDM problem?
Well, it's exactly this, right? Which is TDM stands for time division multiplex. It's the intelligent network. It was the way that all calls worked before IP communications. So there are things like class 4 and class 5 switches and things like ISDN circuits, PRI circuits, P1 lines, E1 lines, OC circuits, all that sort of stuff. That's all the intelligent network, that's all TDM. And that's what I was referring to, which is there are efforts underway to update those protocols and platforms to receive, originate, and pass through this cryptological signature. But that work's ongoing and is not complete. So any call that transits a TDM interconnect loses its stir-shaken header.
So how does stir-shaken impact international calls that are not attested?
Primarily here we're talking about calls being originated from international parties reaching the U.S. And so this is an area that, because Fonative is not an international carrier, I haven't studied too deeply. There is a mechanism that international parties can register with the FCC and file something called a robocall mitigation database, or file a policy in the FCC's robocall mitigation database that indicates that they're a foreign party. And if they do that correctly, at some point they're handing that call to a U.S. termination partner. And based upon commercial arrangements, commercial agreements, it's possible that that U.S. termination partner will attest a call on their behalf. This is kind of getting into the weeds. There's level of attestations, A level, B level, C level. And the B level means that I don't really know that the person that gave me this call controls that phone number, but I know who it is that gave me the call. So I'm going to B level attest the call. So that's how it could work. But, the number of global telecom carriers out there and the number of them that, have significant enough traffic that they're sending to the U.S., that they've gone to the work to do these filings and to alert their U.S. partners that they've done the filings, it's all a work in progress, right? And it's going to be messy for quite some time to come.
Well, let's talk about what's gone right. It sounds like you've had some success with this.
Well, so I think a lot has gone right. So we, for instance, the Fonative story, we paid attention to this early. And we as a smaller carrier that is not facility-based, meaning we don't hold our own phone numbers in the LURG, we had to wait for the FCC in about mid-April. They released this robocall mitigation database. We filed our policy. We had it ready and waiting. We filed it within a few days. And true to their word, that then enabled us to reach out to the certificate authority that grants companies the ability to cryptographically sign calls. This is administered by a company called iConnective, and they validated that we had all the right things in our robocall mitigation policy. They granted us a certificate. We had upgraded our equipment to be able to sign calls. We work with a session border controller company on the West Coast. Sansei is their name. And they were also forward-looking, and they provided a cloud-based signing service and became a CA in their own right. So iConnective, they were one of six vetted CAs. So we were able to fairly easily enable this stuff. So we've been signing calls since I think the beginning of June, and it all came together very quickly for us. We have a few. We, like probably everyone else, have collected ways to tell, are our signatures getting through? So we can do tricks like pass a call out one of our carriers that we signed, call a number that's one of our numbers on another carrier, and make sure that the signature came through. So we've got our operations team has a whole set of, phone numbers we can dial and procedures to validate that. And the other thing that we found, and this is where, if other major carriers or anyone is listening to this, they're welcome to, you know, get in touch or send notes on other ways to validate it. But out of the big three MNOs in the country, we've outfitted our a lot of our tech team with phones and devices, a variety of phones and devices. So everyone on our tech team, you know, has phones with T-Mobile, with AT&T, with Verizon. We've got some with Google Fi. We've got some with Cricket Mobile. We've got one or two with Ting. So we've been calling these phones, sort of waiting to see, you know, when does the fabled green check mark show up that indicates that, hey, you know, this is a legitimate call. And the sort of the, you know, both the sad news, but the, this is why I'm saying it's all a work in progress, is so far, no one is, you know, displaying a green check mark. T-Mobile, however, if you go into the call history and you look at your incoming call, if it's an attested call, it's got a green check mark. So I think the MNOs, right, are they didn't want to create a confusing experience for their customers. So if, you know, and I don't know which one of the big three you use, but, you know, if they had on day one said, I'm going to just, you know, stop delivering calls if they're not attested. Well, for the reasons we talked about before, even a lot of calls that start out attested don't have the attestation go through. That probably would have been pretty damaging to you, right? You would have had people reaching out to you via other means saying, hey, I tried to call you and, you know, your phone didn't ring. And that would not have been a good experience for you. And then the reason that they're not yet even putting the green check mark there is there's just not enough penetration yet. You know, so you'd get so many false, which way would it be false? You would get so many situations that don't have a green check mark that in fact were valid calls, that if you started queuing off the green check mark, you would ignore a lot of other calls that were legitimate. So the, I think the bottom line on all this, right, is, it's a very large sea change with a lot of people. And until it gets over a tipping point, it would be just confusing and detrimental to be blocking or tagging calls. I think what's going to happen is this, you know, now that we're past June 30th and, you know, the people that, you know, like ourselves that we're looking ahead and we're paying attention and did all the right things as, you know, as more and more people are like us or catch up and more calls are attested, and as the industry addresses the TDM problem, then we'll start seeing the green check marks, the calls being blocked, and that nirvana that we're all waiting for, which is the, you know, my phone stops ringing with robocalls. So it's just, I think people in the know probably always knew it was going to be, you know, a fairly long incremental process, not an overnight process. But there was just so much, you know, rumors and everything swirling around before it. You know, it really is nice to sort of, I guess, be on the other side and start seeing how it played out.
Is there anything anybody should know? In other words, if you're managing a contact center or call center, especially, or other parties, are there things to do now? Is there any sort of checklist that we should be looking at?
Well, gosh, I sure would. I sure would want to know that my voice service provider, whoever it is, if I'm using a cloud company, it would be them. If I'm got on-premise gear and I've arranged my own telco, I sure would want to know that my calls are being attested, right? Because you know, over time, it will become a larger and larger risk that your calls simply won't be delivered if they're not being attested. So if you've got people listening and, you know, they either work, you know, sell into a contact center or have a platform or are a contact center and they've not yet looked into this, they need to look at, you know, where their call, if they do outbound calling, where their calls being originated from and, you know, what has that provider done to address this mandate? There's gosh, a couple other things I could throw out there for you to follow up on. There's the other side of this, right? There's the, you know, and what about if you're a contact center getting inbound calls? Is this of interest to you? We can talk about that. And there's another deadline looming, which is September 28th. And I can tell you what that deadline is because it might be another incremental step towards ratcheting down robocalls.
So what's September 28th?
September 28th is the date at which the FCC has mandated that carriers refuse to accept calls from a partner that does not have, from a carrier partner that does not have an entry filed with the FCC's robocall mitigation database. So for instance, if I had not filed there and after September 28th, I try to send a call to, I'll say, Inteliquent, one of our carrier partners. If they have checked and they don't see an entry in the robocall mitigation database, they are mandated to block that call. There's some advice to carriers. So if you have carriers listening here, the advice to carriers is everyone that you interconnect with, if you have filed in the FCC mitigation database, that you get in touch with them and send them information and let them know that you filed and let them know under what business entity name you filed. In my case, it's not hard, right? Our company, Fonative, is filed under Fonative. You know, we don't have a similar name to anyone else. We don't have subsidiaries or DBAs. We don't have name changes that we've gone through. But, you know, there are other carriers, right, that are, you know, larger or sort of have a more complex structure with, you know, a different retail arm versus wholesale arm that maybe they filed under the name of a parent company. And so the recommendation is that you reach out to everyone you interconnect with or that you originate traffic to and you say, hey, we're in the FCC database. Here we are. Here's the link. Just letting you know so that when September 28th comes, you put us on the good list, not on the bad list. So that's another date, right? That, you know, maybe we ought to set a, what are we, about 3 weeks past it, you know, Doug, a September 20th sort of a reminder to do another one of these, and we can have October 20th, we can have a, now that September 28th has passed, what's happening?
Well, this is definitely really interesting I've learned a lot today on this podcast that one did definitely get the assumption that there was going to be spectacular, as you said, fireworks come July 1.
Yep.
It was going to be a mix of a new era and also, you know, sort of call Armageddon for some and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of nothing happened, but then sort of it did. But it sounds like we're sort of in a rolling set of things that are going to happen that will slowly, hopefully, wind down some of this problem.
Yeah, I think that's the right way to look at it, right? It's like the July 4th fireworks show got rained out, but, you know, it's, probably, you know, kind of people in policy positions kind of always knew that. I think there was maybe a little too much hype for it, but I do think this is the right move for the industry and it will, over time, gather momentum and gather speed and, will significantly, reduce and eradicate robocalls. We're just going to have to continue to be patient.
Well, on that note, Steve, I think that's a good place for us to finish off today, but obviously this conversation is ongoing. StirShaken is an ongoing project, and it sounds like there's something for everybody to think about or do and look at right now. Steve, where can we learn more about this matter and also Fonative?
StirShaken, kind of the FCC website. There's the SIP forum is got an ongoing summit this week called SIPNOC, and they were instrumental in a number of the working groups that came together with the policies. I'm actually speaking on the closing panel that is actually titled July June 30th has come and passed. What's next? So that's a resource. And if you want to learn about our company, we're simply at www.fonative.com, F-O-N-A-T-I-V-E.
Well, Steve, I know we're going to be talking about this again. It's a hot topic and apparently an ongoing one. So we'll look forward to our next podcast. But for now, thanks very much for your time.
Oh, gosh. Thanks a lot for having me, Doug. I always enjoy these. And I look forward to touching base again on this.
Me too. I think our audience does as well. Thank you.
Great. Thanks.